In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Come, let us worship the Lord. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness of the house of Israel. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Bring forth a joyous song and sing praises.
Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre.
With the lyre and sound of melody.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn.
Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things.
His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for
him. The first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter
comes from Acts chapter 11. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went up to uncircumcised men and ate with them?" But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey, and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But I said, "By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But the voice answered a second time from heaven, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at the very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as one of us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle lesson is taken from Revelations chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the springs of living water, of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will see me, not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father?" So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us."
brothers and sisters of Zion Evangelical Lutheran Church, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to him, the Almighty God. All glory be to Jesus Christ. Amen. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. When these words are spoken by Christ, our thoughts may often dart over to Good Friday, the day of Christ's crucifixion. We know this was a great sorrow for the apostles, causing weeping and lamentation. We then tend to see the world that Jesus speaks of as speaking of unrighteous people. And no doubt the Pharisees and the Sadducees were delighting that they had stopped the seemingly false prophet. They believe that they have once again saved the children of Israel from a dangerous man. And no doubt Pilate and Herod were more than pleased to be rid of a troublemaker, a riotous man. The Jews were happy to put to death one they saw as a false Messiah. The world, those considered to be unrighteous, certainly are happy to see the death of Christ. But when Jesus speaks of the world in this context, we should not look at it in this way. We should look at it in the way of speaking of the whole world, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We rejoice in the death of Christ. Now, I'm not saying we rejoice in his pain and his suffering, but we rejoice in his sacrifice. His death, speaking of his sacrifice, his death is to be rejoiced. His death is the death of sin. And when sin dies, death is defeated. Though it is still appointed that man should die, we do not fear to die, for we know we will have salvation in Christ Jesus. The death we die will not be an everlasting death, but a death that leads to life, everlasting life. It is though we are merely sleeping, awoken to a bright dawn. It is because Christ bore our sins on the cross, we are able to rejoice in his sacrificial death. This is also why many churches adorn their altars with a crucifix. And a crucifix is not a Roman Catholic thing that they glory in, but it is a Christian thing. A crucifix is not a nice statuary to have. One does not have a crucifix because they're confused about the location of Christ, where he is. No Christian truly doubts that Christ is in heaven, ruling at the right hand of God, that he no longer remains on the cross. Every church should have a crucifix upon the altar so that we remember how Christ's body was broken, how Christ's blood was spilled for us. And what better image to see when we come up for Holy Communion than the image of Christ upon the cross giving himself, where we see the very body and the very blood we tasted upon our tongue. What better image to see than the crucified Lord, an image of him giving his life so that we may have life in him. But we are not to remain fixed on this day, on Good Friday, in the crucifixion, and spend all our time rejoicing there. We are to glory, though we are to glory in the blood of Christ, we are also to rejoice in the resurrection of Christ, just as the apostles did. We are to rejoice in the risen Lord as Mary Magdalene did at the empty tomb in the garden. We are to rejoice as the apostles did when Christ appeared to them. They looked at his crucified, risen form, and they were made glad by it. They saw the nail marks on his hands and the spear that pierced his side, and they were made glad by it. We are to rejoice as Thomas did and fall to our knees in the presence of our Lord and say, "My Lord and my God." This rejoicing that we, Mary, and the apostles do, that we practice, can only be done if Christ has first died. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. Only by going away can he come back, and only by dying can he be made alive. And as the prophet Jeremiah says in the book of Lamentations, "For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of man." It is for our advantage that he does this thing, that he leaves. He does not leave to make his apostles sorrowful. He leaves because of his great compassion for them. He does not do the will of the Father to bring them grief. No, Christ leaves to bring them an abundance of joy. He leaves that they might have life to the full. Christ does not do this for them only, but also for you, brothers and sisters, and for all the world, that you may have salvation, and that you may have joy, and have it to the full. The veil that separated God and man is no more, torn down by Christ. But this veil of tears that we are in, the world, still remains. And though there may be sorrow and grief here in this life, we still have our joy. And there are none that can take that away from us. Not angels, not demons, not powers or princes, not death, and certainly not your life with all of its faults. None can take this joy from you. Not your drunkenness, your anger, your sexual immoralities, your lying, your cheating, your traumas, your gossip, your idolatry. None. Nothing. No one. No one can take the joy away from you. But like with Good Friday, we have our eyes on something else now. Something that will happen very soon in the next 2 weeks. For now, our focus begins to shift from the resurrection of Christ with the salvation and the joy that that brings to us. And we shift our focus to his coming ascension. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. The words of Christ come to us again and direct us towards his ascension. It is for our advantage that he will ascend. For what has Christ promised that he would do for us upon his ascension? We see in our gospel lesson that was read today, he has promised to send the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Spirit of truth. As Christ bore our sins upon his shoulders, the Spirit comes bearing gifts upon his wings. He, like Christ, comes to us, and not we to him. We are completely powerless to draw near to him, to have his gifts, without him being sent to us by the Father. And what gifts does he bring to us, to the church? First, he brings to the church guidance. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare it to you, the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. To the church, he gives wisdom, understanding, and discernment. It is he that opens the scriptures to us. And just as Christ expounded upon the Holy Scriptures to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, so too does the Spirit open our understanding to the law, the prophets, the Psalms, and also the Gospels concerning Jesus Christ. Second, not only does he bring understanding to the world, to the Word of God, to the church, but he brings us the sacraments, the gifts of God's grace. In baptism, we are renewed and regenerated by the Spirit, as St. Paul writes in his epistle to Titus, the 3rd chapter. According to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In the gift of holy baptism, we are baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are given sonship with God, with the Father, through our baptisms. And he is no longer God to us only, but he has become our Father. By the indwelling of the Spirit, we are guided into the will of the Father. And just as the pillar of cloud and fire guided the children of Israel from slavery to freedom, so too does the Spirit guide us from life to death, from death to life. And by this indwelling, the Spirit works and grows faith within us. This faith is not of our own, but of the Spirit. And this faith is what believes and knows that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. This faith is what latches to the bread that we eat and the wine that we drink in the Lord's Supper, so that we believe and we trust that they are the very body and they are the very blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. All this we confess in the Apostles' Creed. And as Martin Luther explains the 3rd article for us in the Catechism concerning the Spirit, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. This is most certainly true. All these gifts, the Spirit comes to bring us. How wonderful are they? How marvelous. If we could even give one of these gifts to another person, we would most certainly boast of it. But in all this, the Spirit does not boast. His duty is to build faith within us that we may believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are able to believe and trust in Christ. But the Holy Spirit cannot come unless Christ has ascended. And Christ cannot ascend unless he has been resurrected. And Christ cannot resurrect unless he has first been crucified and sacrificed on the cross for our sins. That is why we rejoice in the sacrificial death of Christ. By Christ's sacrifice, displayed for us so beautifully on a crucifix, we receive the Holy Spirit, and we are made joint heirs of salvation. And now Christ comes and he speaks to us again. A little while, and you will see me no longer. Soon we will celebrate the ascension of Christ to the right hand of the Father. But he does not remain there. And again, a little while, and you will see me. He shall come again. And when he does, he will take us to our new home, to our home in New Jerusalem. In that heavenly home, the Lord will dwell with us, and we will be his people, and God himself will be with us as our God. He will wipe away every tear of sorrow and lamentation from our eyes, and death shall be no more, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain of body and soul. Thanks be to Jesus Christ, our Lord, our crucified and risen Savior. Amen.
The ushers may receive the offering.
Let us pray. Lord of heaven and earth, in the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus, you have given the promise of our own resurrection. As we await the last day, calm our hearts and strengthen our faith through our sorrows. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, you have fashioned the church as a heavenly bride for your risen Son. Grant her your Spirit that she may always listen to his deathless voice and ever declare his message of salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, lead your people in your steadfast love and guide them in strength to your holy abode. Sanctify our homes. Be the companion of those who live alone, and make all our households places in which your wisdom and grace are found. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, you hold all people accountable for the responsibilities you have given them. O Lord, bless our president, our governor, the Congress and legislature, and all judges and magistrates. Guide them to serve according to your will and end the evil of abortion in our country. Raise up those with heroic virtue who will defend our liberty. Protect those who defend us in the armed forces, even as you give peace to the nations. Lord, in your mercy. O Alpha and Omega, you pledge to bring all things to their perfect consummation. You will bring heaven to earth and banish sorrow, sin, and death. Sustain Karen, Adam, Dennis, the family of Ed, Harold, Esther, Jim, Aubrey, Sean, Austin, Thomas, the Reverend David and his wife Barbara, Charlotte, Mia, Wanda, Kenny, Patricia, and all those who now are in tribulation. By the comfort of your holy word, increase their faith and see them through their trials. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we wait for the second coming of your resurrected Son. Grant us patience as we long to see him. And even now, give us joy at his presence with us through word and sacrament. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know and we need, grant us. Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power. And grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by thy governance may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. The grace. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Okay, I had a bulletin that I wrote down some announcements on that people told me before the service, and it is apparently not this one, so if I forget the announcement you told me, make sure you speak up. Of most importance, many of you probably know, Ed McCullough died this last Thursday at 11:55 p.m. He has been called to glory to be in Christ. There will be visitations held this Tuesday at 2 to 5, as well as 6 to 8 p.m. at Zwick and Jan's funeral home in Decatur. So if you are able, please go and join the family, pay your respects to Ed, and be there to comfort them in their time of grief. And then here at 10:30 will be the funeral on Wednesday. as well as another hour of visitation prior to that. So 9:30, the casket will be in the front of the church, and we'll have some time for visitation, and then the funeral service will start at 10:30 here on Wednesday. So again, if you're able to make it, please come join us to celebrate the new life that Ed has in Christ. It is a hard time, of course, for his family and for many of us. From talking to several of you, I know that Ed was well-loved in this congregation by many. And we just remember the words of the Apostle Paul that we do not grieve as those without hope, that we know that Ed, as we heard last week, in last week's epistle lesson, is now before the throne of God, right? Praising him with the saints in heaven, washed clean and righteous, and awaiting the day of the resurrection, that final day when the Lord will return and he will be raised in his body to live with us and in communion with God forever, as we heard in today's lesson from Revelation, right? In the new heavens and the new earth, all things pass away, right? The earth passes away. All of creation passes away except those who are in Christ. Those abide, those remain. So Ed has not passed away. He has died and he will be raised. Of second, then, we have a potluck afterwards. So thank you to Thomas for preaching this morning for us. And we have a potluck to celebrate his last Sunday with us here. So please join us over in the fellowship hall after the service for that. We will certainly miss you, Thomas. The CWS picnic will be this Wednesday at 6 to 7, so come celebrate that as well. Catechism recitation will be at 3 p.m. On Saturday. So for all you catechumens, I look forward to hearing your recitations and you demonstrating your mastery of the small catechism before those who are gathered. So anyone who wants to watch that is invited to join. And there will be a cake reception afterwards to celebrate your guys' certain achievement, because we all know you'll do great. VBS is coming up, so make sure you are, if you're interested in helping, to let us know that and get registered and all that good stuff. Harold Merkel is very happy to announce that he has moved from the nursing home into the assisted living facility. So if you want to go visit him, he's now in room 409 of Adams Woodcrest. Sorry, I get two of them mixed. Woodcrest. And he is doing very well. Last time I talked to him, he hadn't moved yet, but he was very excited about the possibility. So he's very happy about that. There is going to be some collections for the orphan grain train and ladies' aid this Tuesday at 7, I think is the last announcement. Did I miss anything? Okay, go in peace.